Thanks for tuning in to the Bethany Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message helps you grow in your faith with Christ. If you'd like to find out more about what's going on at Bethany or give, you can visit us online at bethanysite.com or download our mobile app.
Hello, Bethany. It's so good to see everyone, and we want to just welcome you if you're watching online. And if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, we're in this study called 119, and we're going to be looking at the longest psalm in the Bible. The Psalms are God's people's prayers, and I want to look at that. But before I do have you jump into it, I want you to know that we have this step one class is going to be happening at the end of this service. It's right over off the lobby in the chapel. It's just left of the donuts. I don't know if you noticed that. It's pastor appreciation, and if you really want to appreciate me, you will have at least one donut. So I'd be really grateful if you would do that. But anyway, we'd love to have you come to a step one. Step one, we look at Bethany's mission, our vision, our values. It's also our membership orientation, and we would love to have you just drop in. Even if you haven't signed up, we would love you to do that for us. And we have a meal that's going to be served, and don't tell anyone that I told you, but it's lasagna, and one of my favorite. And then also we have childcare. So if you have children that need to be taken care of, we can do that for you also. And it's about an hour and a half class, and we'd love to have you come to that. I get to teach part of it and teach it with the team, and so it's a lot of fun. So Psalms 119, remember last week we gave the introduction, and here's just some of the kind of stuff that we talked about, just to kind of bring everyone in the room up to the same speed. Psalms 119 is the longest psalm, the longest prayer. Psalms 119 is an acrostic Hebrew poem. It's Hebrew poetry. Acrostic because it has 22 stanzas that go with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each alphabet has 8 verses. It has 8 scriptures that start with that letter. And we're going to be looking at Daleth, He, and Vav for this week. One of the things, too, is that each stanza has 8 verses. 8 times 22 is 176 verses, making it the longest psalm. Every verse in Psalms 119, except about 5, have some mention of God's word to it. And remember, Hebrew is read right to left. We read English left to right. Hebrew is right to left. And the psalmist gives the highest view of Scripture. It's God's word, and he uses 8 terms for God's word. He uses God's law, the Torah. He uses the word debar. He uses promise, commands, decrees, laws, precepts, statutes. And then there's 2 bonus kind of references, is the way. Being on the right way or not taking the wrong way, or being on the right path, not being on the wrong path. And this psalm is written with the psalmist under the gun. He's under, persecution. We don't know who the author is. A lot of scholars, a lot of biblical scholars think it's King David who wrote a lot of the psalms. It's really him. There's some Jewish scholars that even kind of say that, it was David writing this acrostic to teach the alphabet to his son, King Solomon. But we don't know. It could also have been one of the Babylonian captives. The captives were taken when Israel was conquered by Babylonia. There was a whole bunch of them that were taken as slaves and marched across the desert, and thus you have Daniel and his 3 friends, and so it could have been written by one of them. Just to give you kind of a hack, if you're new to Scripture, if you're new to the Bible, maybe you're a new Christian, maybe you don't know the Bible that well, and jumping into the Old Testament is like, whoa, this is way over your head, or you feel like you're inadequate. Just wanted to give you this hack. If you want to find the Psalms, if I say turn to the Psalms in your Bible, if you look at your Bible and find the middle, it opens up right to the Psalms. It's really cool. Now, if you have one of those really thick Bibles, they have a big concordance at the end, a bunch of maps and some pictures, then you have to go a little bit to the left of middle, and then you open right up to the Psalms. If you have all your Bibles on the phone, I'm a boomer, so I have no hacks for phones, so you have to forgive me for that. The three that we're going to be looking at is three letters is Daleth, starting with verse 24. And Daleth is in the imagery, Jewish imagery of their letters, is a door. And so the title for this one is "The Word of the Lord is My Open Door." And God is the one that opened doors for us. He opened the door for me, and sometimes he closes doors, but he's the door. Jesus said, "I am the door. You know, I'm the way. I'm the door." And then hay is a window, and this is the idea of you're looking out, and your perspective, I've called this "The Word of the Lord is My Perspective," and this idea of a window is that as Christians, we're either looking at the world through God's perspective, or we're looking through it, you know, in the world's perspective. And then the vah is a peg, a tent peg. And the vah is this little screw on the top of it. And the word of the Lord is my security. And so a tent peg would secure a tent in the desert when they would be out in the wind. So let me read to you verses 25 through 48. It's a long read, so put your thinking caps on as we go through it. Daleth. I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord Yahweh. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord Yahweh, the way of your decrees. Teach me, Lord Yahweh, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord Yahweh, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. As we look at this first one, I have it in Hebrew so you can see what it looks like. And I know this is kind of like a repeat, but I want you to know that the Hebrew of Daleth, that's a Daleth right there. And these are the characters, these are the alphabet. So Daleth, remember Hebrew goes right to left. That Daleth, verse 26, Daleth, verse 27, Daleth, verse 28, Daleth. If you're looking online, you can't see my laser pointer, but I'll call out the verses kind of. 28, Daleth, 29, Daleth, 30, Daleth, 31, Daleth, 32. That's the acrostic. That's the poem. And each line is one of those verses. And those little squiggly and points and colons and little marks, those are the vowel pointing, because Hebrew doesn't have any letters that are vowels. They just have consonants. And so you're wondering, how do you do that? I don't know. They're amazing. They're God's people. They're, you know, the Jewish thing is a wonderful language. Let me just start going in verse by verse. This is the idea of an open door. What it kind of stands for, and we'll just kind of use that as the theme for this one. The psalmist starts off discouraged in this section. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. This is probably the psalmist putting his head down and just praying to God. Probably, you know, on his knees, falls down. He's at a low point. I don't know if it's depression or discouragement. I don't know if he is just absolutely under the gun, whatever it is. If it was one of the captives, one of the Jewish men or women that are taken captive by Babylonia, you know, just being a slave. They would have low moments. There would be, you know, a constant fear of how you're going to be treated, and you could do the wrong thing, and you could be thrown into prison, or you could be beaten. This writer is really low in the dust, and we go through times when we're just discouraged, or we have the door shut in our faith, and when we lose hope, and we struggle with all kinds of things. And he says, preserve my life. So it's almost like his life is in danger. That his life is in danger, and he's bringing this complaint to God. And one of the most wonderful things about the Psalms is that they show the emotions that we have, the lowest emotions to the highest emotions of praising God and glorifying God, but down to the reality, I am laid low in the dust. And then verse 26, I give an account of my ways, and you answered me, teach me your decrees. Now, that next verse is the idea. I gave an account of my life. I opened my life to you, O God. I opened my heart. One of the best things we can do in a relationship with God is that we are an open book to him, that we keep short accounts, because he knows us. You can't hide anything from him. So you might as well be honest about it and give an account for yourself. And especially if you're struggling in some area of sin or failure, and he knows about it. So open it up to him and say, you know me, you know what it's like. And then this posture of humility that the psalmist has, teach me your decrees. Verse 27, cause me to understand the ways of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. It's the most amazing thing of how humble this writer is. Teach me. Let me have understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment, you know, and let me meditate on your wonderful deeds. In a relationship, one of the things that we do is we meditate on the person that we are in a relationship with. I talk about Elaine a lot. She's my wife, and we're going to be married next May, 49 years. So, and we dated 4 years before that. So I've known her over 50 years, and one of the things that I still do is that I meditate on her wonderful deeds. Friday was a work day for us. We had a day off, and we spent the whole day working. And Elaine, you know, she starts in, and then she goes till after dark. You know, I got to 4 o'clock, and I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm just too tired. And, you know, I did the most of the work. And, no, I'm just joking. I'm joking. She really works hard, and I cut all these branches with a pole saw and all this stuff on the ground and started loading in the truck, and then I reached my end and said, okay, that's enough for me, but she did more. She kept clipping and cutting and loaded up the truck, and then she drove it to the dump, you know, and then, she's amazing, and when she came home, she woke me up, you know, and said, what do you want to eat, you know, and I was like, oh, what a wife, you know, and that's the most wonderful words to me. What would you like for dinner? That is just marvelous. Those are wonderful deeds, you know, and I meditate on that. What a wife. She's been blessing me for over 50 years. Oh, God, thank you. And here the psalmist is saying, in a relationship with God, we meditate on all the things that he does, and we praise him. Look at the sunrise and the sunset and Mount Rainier and mountain and forest and sea and ocean and river. There's just something that we can praise him all the time. And then the psalmist keeps going and talks about how much he is struggling on his inner life. My soul, the very inner me, is weary from sorrow. I am grieving. I am sad. I am lonely. I am hurting. And he says, strengthen me with your word. I need the word of God to strengthen me in this really low time. And many times we go through sorrow. There's some of you here are sitting and you've lost a spouse, or you have gone through some kind of a loss where you are in sorrow and you are in sadness and things are hard. And sometimes they don't have to be the worst thing. Elaine's brother and my brother-in-law and his wife had their kids, their adult kids and their grandkids, move from their town, which they got to see them, you know, every day, to another town, and they're like an hour and a half away. And Elaine, you know, was talking to me about dinner about how her brother is just grieving that he can't be with his grandkids every day. He's just sad. And sometimes we just have sad things happen. And if you're in a relationship with anyone at home, whether you have a spouse or a child or, you know, someone, you know, that you're close to, you know, sometimes they just get sad. And you say, what's bothering you? Something's the matter. What is it? You know, and if it's a man, you know, not always, but many times if it's a man, he'll say, nothing. Nothing's wrong, you know. And that's a sign that just about everything is wrong. So, you know, keep talking, you know, and listen. And sometimes we're not ready to talk, but at times there's this point where we can say to someone, my soul is weary with sorrow. We would hardly know what to do if someone walked into church and they said, you say, hey, how's it going? And they said, my soul is weary with sorrow. How would we respond? What would we say? But we can take that to God in our language. It gives us a language to say how we are feeling, how we experience life. Strengthen me, O God. Keep me from deceitful ways. Don't let me go down the wrong path, the wrong way. There's so many of them. Help me stay on the path that is right. Be gracious to me. Teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord Yahweh. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands. Notice the I. In the prayer life that we have, we're allowed to say I to God. And here, this first thing, verse 30, is that I have chosen the way of faithfulness. You cannot imagine how many people in our culture are being fed a lie that it's okay to be unfaithful. It's okay to live an unfaithful life. And yet we all know that the path, the way, is to be faithful. But it's one of the hardest paths to stay on. Be faithful. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to your kids and grandkids. Be faithful in your work. Be faithful to your employer. Be faithful. And he says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. It is a choice that I am going to be faithful. I am going to stick with it. I've set my heart on your word. I hold fast to your word, Lord Yahweh. Do not let me be put to shame. I keep saying Yahweh in case you're new. It's the Hebrew. It could also be pronounced Jehovah. We don't know exactly how it's pronounced, but the word that's given there in Hebrew is the name of God that was given to Moses at the burning bush when he started his calling. And God said, my name is I am who I am. I'm Yahweh. And it's a personal covenant name. It's the relational name. And here he says, you know, I want to run in your paths, O Yahweh. I don't want to be put to shame. I do not want to be humiliated. If it was one of the Babylonian captives, you know, I don't want to be thrown into prison. I don't want to be whipped in front of other people. I don't want to be mistreated. You know, save me, O God. Save me from shame. Starting with verse 33, and the Hebrew again, we see that the hey is verse 33, the hey, verse 34, the hey, verse 35, 46, 47, 38, 39, 40. It all starts that way, and it's read right to left. And all that googly-gop, you know, that stuff there, those are the vowel pointings and kind of helping you pronunciate Hebrew words. And those were put in the 8th century, 8 centuries after Christ. So this came a lot longer later, and the straight text of Hebrew is without those vowel pointings. It's such an interesting language. So the hey starts off with, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. Again, it starts off with repeating, you know, teach me. And before he said, teach me. And then verse 34, give me understanding, give me wisdom, give me discernment, and I will obey you with all my heart. Then 35, direct me in the paths of your command, for there I find delight. Don't let me take a wrong path. Don't let me stray. Keep me on the right path. And there's this repeating in language that happens. Teach me. There's another place where it talks about, you know, that preserve my life, preserve my life, preserve my life. And there's this repeating language. And I want you to know that we do repeating language. In relationship, we do repeating language. For over 50 years, I've been telling Elaine that I love her. And she never grows tired of it. It's really funny. She never grows tired. I love you. Now, not when she's angry and I say, well, I love you. You know, and I'm talking about that kind of, you know, foolishness. But I'm talking that we say we love each other. Last night there were some dirty dishes in the sink and I put them in the dishwasher, you know. And I almost couldn't find it, but I did, and I put them in there. And Elaine said, thank you for putting away the dishes. I was going to get to that. Thank you for doing that for me. And I said, well, you know, I love you. I really love you, you know. And she goes, I love you too. And she says, I love you to me all the time. And there's just something about repeating language that happens all the time. And you go to work. If you walk into work, if you're at an office or you work with some people and you walk in and you don't say anything and everyone says, good morning, hey, how's it going, beautiful day today, and you don't say anything, you just walk in, you go to your office, you slam the door, hey, you just said a lot, but that is not how you behave, right? We talk and we repeat all the time. Hey, how's it going? How are you doing? You know, we love you. I like you. You know, hey, you need to pick up this. Could you do this? Could you do this? And we're always asking. And we're always repeating that language. And here we have the same thing. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Give me understanding. Direct me in the right path. And this is just my opinion. You'll probably hear this different from other teachers, Bible teachers, pastors, maybe even other scholars, but this is just my opinion. I know that God's word is God's word and that every verse is inspired. I understand that. But I still have favorite verses. There are some verses that are just my favorite. And here, verse 36 and verse 37 are two of my favorite verses in Psalms 119. And I pray it even more than when I read it. And I read it every month, and I read it really thoroughly on the 31st of 7 months. There's 7 months that have 31 days, and so I will read that and spend my time. But these are two that I pray a lot. Verse 36, turn my heart towards your statutes, to your word, and not towards selfish gain. It is so easy in our lives, especially in this culture of materialism and consumerism and using people, that we do not turn towards the selfish way, but we want God to turn our heart towards him. And notice he's saying, teach me, Lord, give me understanding, direct me. And now he gives God permission to turn him, turn me towards you, turn my heart, my soul, my inner life, so that I love you, that I desire you, and I don't go down the cultural path of materialism and consumerism and all that stuff. Save me from it. And then look, verse 37, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. There it is again, preserve my life. My life is in danger if I have my eyes turn towards worthless things. And there's so few things that are not, there's just eternal things that are way more than the worthless things. For one thing, people. Now, people, you just don't know what a privilege it is to stand at that door and welcome people. You don't know what a privilege it is to pray for people. You have no idea how each one of you is so precious in God's sight that I can't, as a pastor, even come close to appreciating you or loving you as much as God does. And this idea of worthless things, that I would get distracted to worthless things, and the eternal things is people. God's word, it says, you know, the flowers and the grass, they fade away, but God's word is eternal. You know, there's like three things that are eternal. There's God's word, there's people, and there's golf clubs. Those are the three. Thank you for laughing. So, there's something that is so important that we, you know, we turn away from the worthless things because we're so easily attracted to them, and we turn to the eternal things. We turn to the most important things. And then it says, fulfill your promise to your servants so that you may be filled. There's so many promises, even in the Old Testament, that say God loves us. He promises, you know, his love, his unfailing love towards us. And then it says, take away the disgrace that I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In the righteousness, preserve my life. There's this idea that, you know, it would be so easy to go down the wrong path the wrong way and become disgraced, or have your family disgraced, or have your life disgraced or humiliated. Oh, Lord, save me from that. Keep me from that. Let me have your perspective in all things, not the world's perspective. And then the vow. The vow is verses 41 through 48. And it, again, Hebrew is right to left, and the vah, verse 41, verse 42, the vah, verse 43, the vah, verse 44, vah, 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 vah. So we have that acrostic. And so the psalmist has written it so that every line, every verse starts with that letter. And the vah is like a tent peg. It's, you know, that holds down the tent. And this is the idea that the word of the Lord is my security. Notice it says, verse 41, may your unfailing love come to me, Lord, Lord Yahweh, your salvation according to your promise. The unfailing love is such an interesting word. It's a powerful word that is chesed. And chesed is this word that's the word for love. It's translated in different scriptures, different Bibles, loyal love, New American Standard Bible, loving kindness, the English Standard Version, steadfast love. But it means more than just love. It also means loyalty and faithfulness and the kind of love that never lets go. That's a targeting love that targets and sets its aim and never lets go. So in English, we have one word for love, love. And so, you know, I love my wife. I love you folks. I love God's church. I love a T-bone steak. I love my dog, Obi. You know, there's, you know, all these words for love, and we have to kind of figure it out contextually what the person is talking about. But here, this word is the idea that it is unfailing, faithful, steadfast. It's never wishy-washy. And here, the psalmist is saying, may your unfailing love come to me. And it's already there, but he's still saying, I want to experience it. I want to experience it. I want to have an experiential love and feel your love and know your love and have assurance of your love. And I bet you that there's some people sitting here, even though you're a Christian, even though you believe the Bible's God's word, even though you would say, I believe in God, that you don't have assurance that God loves you, and even beyond that, that he likes you. Because some don't even like themselves. And they feel bad about themselves all the time. All the time they're feeling bad. Or they're feeling bad about their marriage. Or they're feeling bad about their place and position. Or they're feeling bad about where they fit in. Or they're feeling bad how they fit in their families. And there's something about not experiencing God. And here the psalmist is saying, may your unfailing love come to me. May I have your love so strong, so great, so mighty, so wonderful that nothing can shake me because I have you. Because I have you. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me. Those prison guards, those Babylonians, or in David's case, the people that are against me, all the nations that surround me, the Philistines, all of them that are against me, I can take any kind of taunt. And they can make fun of me, they can give me scorn and contempt, and I can handle it because I have you, Yahweh. I have your word and your unfailing love that will never let me go. And that's how Jesus feels about each one of us. Each one of us. Never take your word of truth from my mouth. I've put my hope in you, in your word. And that hope is the idea of waiting. I will wait for the Lord. I will hope in the Lord. I will wait for the Lord. Verse 44, I will always obey your law forever and ever, and I walk about in freedom. Freedom is one of the most important things. We're very fortunate to live in a country where we have freedom of religion and freedom of speech, and we have so many freedoms we can hardly imagine it. But here, in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, as part of those prayers is this idea, I will walk about in freedom. And even if I'm a captive, even if I'm a slave in Babylon, even if everything is against me, I will walk in freedom. And Paul writes in Galatians, he writes in the New Testament to these Christians in Western Turkey. He writes to them and said, Christ died for you so that you could be free. It was for freedom's sake that Christ died. That Christ wants you to be free, free from the fear of death, free from sin, free from worry and anxiety. He wants us to be free. For I have sought out your precepts. I have sought out your word. I will speak of your statutes before kings. Even if I stand before kings, even if I stand before leaders, I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be afraid. I am a free man. I will not be put to shame. I will not be humiliated because I delight in your word, O God, your commands, because I love them. And I reach out for your commands, which I love. And I'll meditate on your decrees, O Lord. I love your word. So, what do I want for you this week? Let me give you a couple things that I want for you this week. Number one, I want to keep challenging you to read Psalms 119. And I've had a couple people really admit to me that this is like the most boring thing when they have to read through the Bible. When they come to Psalms 119, they're like, ugh, you know, Debbie Downer, you know, just like, ugh. So it keeps repeating and it's just like, ugh, it's so hard. And I want you to know, I felt the same way when I had a teacher teach English. I think it was English 1 in high school, and she taught this section on poetry, you know, and you know, I'm a 10th grade boy. I did not ever want to admit that I liked poetry. You know, even if I liked one, I would never admit to it. I was just like, I couldn't do that. I was a football player. I couldn't like poetry, you know. And then she started saying the symbolism and the colors and, you know, it's all this stuff. I got so confused, you know, and, you know, I would say dumb stuff like, you know, I'm a poet and I don't even know it, you know. And it was just stupid stuff like that. And I want you to know that I understand that this could be hard for some people. But I want you to read it. And then when you come to a verse that speaks to you, when God actually speaks to you, I want you to stop and meditate on that verse. Because, you know, the different verses are going to speak to you depending on what you're going through. Because these are the prayers back to God. And then I want you to understand that prayer is asking prayer. And prayer is asking for things, that we ask God for things. Notice that he's asking God, you know, I want you to give me your word. I want you to give me your love. I want you to direct me and guide me and give me understanding. I want, I need, I long, I long for you. Amen? So that's the challenge. Hey, stand with me. Let me pray for you, and we're going to worship with a song at the end. Father God, just thank you for each person here. We cannot even adequately express in our language how much you love us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would grab a hold of each person's heart. We pray that you would help us to have a high view of Scripture, to have a high view of praying to you, that you listen to us, that you even direct our prayers. Come, Holy Spirit, come and direct our prayers. Intercede for us. Thank you for each man, woman, and child today. Bless them. Lead them. Guide us. Oh, God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.